I know the weather outside is almost picture perfect. Don't forget, the this coming Wednesday night, we'll be over in Blue Park. And what you do, as soon as you turn in, take the first circle off to the right, and then we'll be down underneath the trees down front. There's a flat area. We'll be right down front. Service will start at 7 o'clock as normal, and it'll be a little bit more condensed, and the reason for it is we won't have the preliminaries and stuff like that. We'll just go ahead and sing a song or two, and from there what we'll do is have preaching. As soon as I mentioned it, Brother Sammy said, "That sounds exciting." And I said, "Great, well, you're preaching." So, so he's all excited about it, so I'm looking forward to it, amen. Now, if it's weather permitting, you know, so if it's raining or whatever, come on to church, okay? I'm not going to put a text out or anything like that, but the weather's pretty. And I'll go ahead and tell you, bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket, bring a coat, but do not bring a log because we can't build a fire, okay? So anything, like I said, just, you know, but we're going to have a good time out there worshiping the Lord, having church, and we're going to take the church outside of the church. And I'm looking forward to it. Also, today, just to let everybody know that the Prophet's Chamber construction is coming along really, really good. A lot of work was done this past week. And like I said, if you go back in the back of the, back there in the back of the fellowship hall, back there where those classrooms are, take a look and everything, and see what all's been done. They've come a long way in a short period of time. I'm still impressed because, like I said, I've been staying out of the way. Reason I stay out of the way is because I am not a carpenter. So anyway, they don't want me tearing up anything. So I just, if I can hand it to them while I'm here or something like that, I'll be glad to do it. But for the most part, I'm just letting the builders build, and I'm staying out of the way. Camp meeting. Camp meeting's coming up real quick. That's going to be starting Sunday morning on June the 2nd. Okay, June the 2nd. There will be no Sunday school. It's going to be all preaching services the whole day. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 2 o'clock. Brother Chip Stowe's coming into town. He'll be back with us that Sunday morning. And he'll be preaching the 10 o'clock service. Brother Brian Burr is going to be with us. He'll be preaching the 11 o'clock service. And I really don't know yet. There's some preachers said they might be dropping in or something like that. So I really don't know who's going to be preaching the 2 o'clock service yet. But anyway, Dr. Tommy Cook will be here Monday night. Y'all know him. He's the one that plays piano, sings really good. And Brother John Pittman will be here to preach on Monday night. Tuesday night will be the new pastor to the church over in Tennessee, Brother Sammy Lawson. He'll be here, and Brother Ricky Harbor will be preaching that service. Wednesday night and Thursday night will be Pastor Curtis Ponder and Pastor Brett Graham. So I'm looking forward to that. Some of you never heard Brother Brett Graham. And y'all, I will tell you this, he is like Brother Josue that we heard last Sunday afternoon on steroids. So that's the only thing I can tell you, Brother Brett Graham. He is a live wire. He and loves the Lord. Good, he's a good brother, and known him for a long time. He's just he's a ball of energy, and sometimes I wish I had some of that energy. Y'all can say amen. But anyway, don't forget choir practice is today and every day, every Sunday. I mean, so hopefully everybody will get done eating. We'll get cleaned up and everything where we can have choir practice. We really need to be practicing to get some songs ironed out for the tentative camp meeting choir that Brother Young will be. We'll be having camp meeting choir every night. It'll be our group plus ever who else wants to come up and sing. And we need to make sure that the pianist and organ, everybody has their roadmap on what we're going to be doing those nights. So that way we'll have good old time in the Lord during camp meet. So with that being said, just keep that on your prayers and try to attend if you can. I know that I'm already setting up my schedule now. I'm over a month out. That way I'll be done early, try to get in where I can be here every night. So, and everything. So it's looking real good because I've already told them anyway over a year ago that when I started with them, I said, look, church comes first. I'll cut it loose and go ahead and go to church. So anyway, with that being said, birthdays. I know we had one. I'm thinking of two. Birthdays.
Back here.
I know we got one here. Just got an elbow throwed in the back. Amen. So let's see. My card box has got closed. All righty. Birthdays. Thank you, ma'am. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Hope y'all have many, many more. Now for the most exciting time of the service. For the anniversaries. Maybe one day we'll have an anniversary. No anniversary. Okay. Spiritual birthdays. Who remembers the day they got saved? No spiritual birthdays this week. Okay. Well, that's everything then. We'll go ahead and ask this morning. We'll get Brother Marvin, if you don't mind, would you stand and open us in a word of prayer?
God made my Savior die, okay?
Found the one who tarried. Understand about our choir books, don't you? Sometimes they're just not together. Some book could be a little different than the other one, or maybe some words misspelled or little things imperfect about them. So you got an imperfect song book and an imperfect song leader. You just have to accept me as I am. But it happens. The
players,
is all of us, we're just doing it for the Lord, doing the best we can.
That's right, brother. We just do
and so. It's wonderful to at least have the opportunity, the privilege, just to get into service for the Lord. And if we do things right, good. If we mess up, well, Lord help me, you know. And it just takes a lot of prayer, don't it? So let's trust the Lord for the service today. Page 55, please. When we all get to heaven, all of us in this crowd today, if you're saved, you're going to be in heaven one day. But if you're not saved, you can't sing this song with excitement, with joy. But you can make that difference today in the service, okay? We all get to heaven. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing, shout the victory.
Today, and so many projects going on, and
this is the last Sunday to be able to give to the Bible Box. And what I'll do is I'll have that total late this evening, and I'll put the total out on text. So Sister Billy Joe, if you'll get back to me, I'll get it out to everybody, let you know what the total is. But I believe the last time I had a total, it was 366. And I don't know what it's gone in Wednesday or what'll be in today. So just letting everybody know.
Amen. Amen. Good work. Just to help to send God's word. Well, I may tell you, and be amazing. Be amazed. Wonderful what'll happen if all them Bibles get to where they're going. You know?
That's right.
Let's pray to God the Bibles will get there, you know, and touch every heart. Okay. Brother Sammy, lead us, sir.
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful, God, that you allowed us to be here today.
Yes.
For the Spirit of the Lord, we're doing the service today, Lord. Thank you for the choirs. And God, we thank you for the singing. Thank you for the folks that's come today. Bless the offering, Lord. Bless those that have given and those that don't have given. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of the needs of the church the way you have.
Yes.
God, we just pray that you lead us into the rest of the service, Lord. An honest, and be with us, Lord. And God, may we go away a different person than we came in today. Have your way, Lord. And lead us in the
yes.
Amen.
Amen. Given this morning. Page number 95, everyone. My brother W.A. gets back here. We'll go take off singing again. Page number 95. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Amen. All right. Yeah, we don't want to stop the flow of money here. I mean, let's keep giving. And there we go. Makes you wonder sometimes if that thing's big enough. But all right, folks. God bless you for giving. Page 95. Please stand. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, he will.
So will.
couldn't hear him, he picked up his little bales. In time. That's what amazed me. He was in time. He was sitting there. He's amazed with Brother Young leading the music. And then he gets to listen and everything. Now, I ain't bragging on him or nothing like that right there, but I'm going to tell you something. For a 2.5-year-old to be up there in the end time,
I hadn't been practicing with him, but I tell you what, boy, it's rubbing, something's rubbing off. Y'all can say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that'll be fine. I don't know.
Just one.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead with Wes and Cheryl. We'll let Sister Catherine exercise her fingers.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what let's do. Let's do an all-time favorite. Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus.
Yeah. Sister Catherine, can you play that in the key of blank?
It'll probably be blank.
Because that's what I got written down was nothing there. So, amen.
Precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond a crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming. plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. I'm surprised I didn't slobber all over everything. Y'all laugh if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. These stitches is about to drive me crazy. Amen? Well, if you got your Bible, we're going to finish up today in Job. We've been there for the last, this will be the third Sunday. And we're going to finish up Job's address to his dear friend, Bildad. A friend like Bildad, I say to you, if you've got friends like Bildad, get rid of them and start over. Y'all can say amen, because a friend like that you don't need. He's a true pleasure. Y'all can say amen. Job chapter number 9. Again. And I'm glad there ain't nobody sitting on the front row. They may get showers of blessings. Y'all say amen. Amen. You know something? I want to say something while y'all are finding your way to Job chapter 9. You know, when I'm standing up here playing at the bass, I'm by no means what I call a bass player. But I'll tell you something, what thrills my soul is to see youngins in church. And then seeing the whole family together. Amen? Yeah. Thrills my soul.
Amen.
And I'm going to go ahead and say this. No, she don't talk a whole lot to us. But according to her grandma and her granddaddy, she talks the ears off of them at home. But to look over and to see Brother Thomas holding little Rebecca's hand a while ago, singing the songs in church, thrills my soul. Now, look, it ain't about nothing else. It's about having your family in church. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. And there's a whole bench full of family there. I say praise the Lord. Now, I ain't putting them up on a pedestal or nothing like that. Don't get me wrong. But it's good to see a whole family in church. It thrills my soul.
Amen.
Job chapter 9. Look at verse number 13. We'll pick up there. And it said, if God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him, how much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Then it goes on here in verse number 15. It says, whom though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge if I had called. I like this. And he answered me, yet would I not believe. The reason I like that is because that's where a lot of Christians are today. God speaks directly to them, and yet they will not believe or follow. Amen? Then it goes on and says that he had hearkened unto my voice. Father, I pray you'll be with us now as we just try to feebly preach your word. I pray, Father God, now that as we finish up this today, that, Lord, we will see your name lifted up on high, as Job did just that. Job did lift your name up on high as he gave an account, though he didn't have to. He gave an account to Bildad against the false charges that he brought up. Because, Lord, you were in the midst the whole time with Job as he was tried. And, Lord, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory today for that one that's nearest tail that may be saved. Oh, Father God, lead, guide, and direct us now. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Number five in this list, you start to see here, this is the punishment of God's greatness. Now, you're saying, well, how can punishment be of God's grace, of greatness? It's real simple. If you do not feel God chastening you, you are not in His will. Amen? Irregardless of where you think you are in your Christian walk, if the chastening hand of God you don't feel in your life, you are out of the will of God. Because of the fact that for the ones that God loves, He chasteneth, the Bible says. Many times in our Christian walk, we don't feel that. But notice in here in this verse of Scripture, in verse number 13, it says, if God will not withdraw His anger, the proud helpers do stoop under Him. The punishment that God will subdue anyone, regardless of their position, their name, their rank in life, or their self-exalted position that they may hold. Some people think that they hold a great position in life, and they don't. Everything that we have is because of God. He gave it. Amen? And this punishment of God's greatness is something that goes to all. The Bible tells us that He's no respect of persons. Everybody's the same to God. Amen? The only difference is those that are blood washed, when He looks down, He sees the blood. Amen? And when there are others, He don't see the blood. I'm glad that when He looks down and sees me, He sees the blood that's been applied. That way I know that His wrath will not be coming my way. Sadly today, there's Christians that call themselves Christians that are playing games with God, that are not saved, that are not true to His Word, and they will feel that wrath when it comes one day. Sad. All of us are utterly helpless against God's punishment. What do you mean by that, preacher? Because of the fact God's punishment is for all. And what are you saying? Well, I'm saved by the grace of God. That's right, but we're not exempt from punishment because He chasteneth us. I want a God that does correction on me. Amen? If anyone or anything shall try to rise up against God at any time, they will experience the full wrath of God. Go back to what I was saying last week about how when evil men slept, God sent one angel in the encampment and killed every single one of the evil men while God's people were asleep. And when they woke up, the battle had already been fought. Amen? That's God. I'm glad that I serve that God. I'm glad that that God that has that type of power is the same God today that can do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all things. I want to say this, and I got this written down. Be warned, church and sinner friends alike. Judgment time is drawing near. Amen? The Bible says that in the end days, perilous times will wax worse and worse. I think we're getting close when that trumpet's going to sound. Then, number six, there's a pessimism because of God's greatness. Think about this for a second. The pessimist. Brother Sammy, it ain't that bad. God can't be that bad. God's a loving God. Hey, let me tell you something. The God I serve is a loving God. But I'm going to tell you something about the God I serve. The God I serve is a jealous God. The God I serve is a God that is full of wrath. That God is a God full of vengeance. And look, He is not one that church we want to take lightly.
And sadly, sadly, today, in our society, there are people that are doing just that. They are taking God lightly. You don't want to be pessimistic with the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to take Him seriously, and you want to take His Word. His Word is written to us and for us, and we need to take His Word how it's written. Amen? Because when we start holding loosely to the Word of God, guess what happens in our life? You start to go backwards and you start to go down. People have said many, many times, oh, I'm okay. And all the while, they're getting further and further and further and further away from church. And when you get further and further and further away from church, you get away from the things of God. And the next thing you know, the things of God have become second, third, and fourth in your life. It's recorded in the Scriptures. The Good Samaritan. That man, look, the Good Samaritan went to the man that fell amongst thieves. The Bible says that he was going down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a typology of the church. And that man left church and was going downhill. He had got away from church, fell amongst thieves, and nobody would help him, including a preacher. And a good Samaritan, a Samaritan of all people who weren't even supposed to touch him and be with him, helped him. That pessimistic lifestyle, let me just say this right here. You can sit there and think that, hey, it don't affect me. I'm telling you this, it affects you. Let's look at a couple of these answers that Job gave old Bildad. Here is Job, we're coming into the conclusion. And it's here that these conclusions that Job was answering, he was given this recognition to God through and while he was directing it at Bildad. And all of it was because of false accusations of a man who didn't sin at all, who was told that he sinned is the reason he had all these bulls and everything on his body. This is sad because of the fact that because at this point, Job, rightly so, was frustrated. He should be frustrated. And when he gets frustrated, he stops and he gives three answers of this false accusation. Number one, he was unable to answer. Think about this for a second. Look at verse number 15. It says, how much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? He didn't give an answer. Because of the fact he was trying to choose what words that needed to be said. God's greatness can bring all mankind to its knees at His will. Job now feels that he's lesser of a man and has no way to answer. And the reason he feels this way is because of the fact he was dumbfounded in the presence of God. He was dumbfounded because of that. In his mind, he knows that he had done no sin. In his mind, he knows that his wife telling him, a loving bride, that I might say, when she looks at Job and says, why don't you curse God and die? Such love. In a time of deep despair. Excuse me. And yet, with all these things going on, Job doesn't have an answer. He's dumbfounded. Have you ever been to that point where people's got you so frustrated? People's got you so just like, you want to go, ah! I'm glad Weston ain't in here. We were doing that yesterday afternoon. It kept getting louder and louder and louder and louder, and I finally just said, I can't go any further. You just go ahead on. But anyway, part of being pop. But the thing of it is this, church, when you get to this point, a lot of times we're so frustrated that we'll want to go, and what comes up? Our past. Yeah. And what do? We react the way that we used to react, rather with a bad word or whatever, or some kind of strong statement or whatever. See, that's because the devil brings that up. Job was dumbfounded and didn't. He didn't say a word. That's the way we need to be as Christians. We need to be speechless. Turn it over to God and say, God, you take this and go with it. That's what Job did. And it had an effect, and we'll get to that effect. Now, and we'll move on to the next one. He gives his second answer in verse number 16. His second answer is kind of a different way of answering. He was unwilling to answer. Look at the wording. It says, whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer? He's saying, okay, I'm righteous, but hey, I'm not going to answer. But I would make supplication to my judge. When was the last time that you just bowed down to Jesus and committed yourself solely to Him? A lot of times in 2024, people are so full of themselves that they won't bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ and show themselves humble before God. Now, let me just say this right here. God's been good to me. He's been real good to me. So far, I hadn't spent on nobody. And that's what I prayed for today. I just said, you know, because I know what's going on inside of there. And these aggravating stitches are driving me crazy. But see, the thing of it is, we need to be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ. That word supplication means basically submissive. People think that they can do anything they want to do before God. Be any way they want to be before God. That ain't the case, church. Because of the fact we need to be submissive to Him. That way we, as Christians, can be Christ-like. And the only way for us to be Christ-like is to be like Him. You know, I've said this many times. To get a message that will rip every one of your lives apart would take me probably less than 10 minutes of typing on the computer. And that message would rip every one of your lives apart. It would be so hard that everybody would be, I can't believe he even said. You would be complaining till next Wednesday. But see, that's not how Job reacted. That's not how I want to react. Because why? People are people. Do you realize that people are people? And people are going to do people things. So see, that's why it takes, on average, I average it out. I've been keeping track of sermons since January 1st. And Brother Young, average sermon study time, 9.5 hours to get one ready for Sunday. Now, when they go into a series like this right here, this one here took about almost 32 hours of studying and meditating and getting things right. It just don't happen. You got to get in tune with God. The first thing you do, you just don't pick up this book and you just don't open it and start to read. No. What you do, the first thing you do when you pick up the book, you don't even open it. You cradle it and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God, where would you have me read today? Where would you have me meditate in your word today? Because if you don't do that, you'll get nothing from the book. Prayer. Amen. And see, and this is what Job gave that unwilling answer. It says, of whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer. He knew that he was in tune with God, but he knew that he couldn't give an answer. Job feels like that God is so great that he has no way to be righteous and contend to be justified. So you know what Job does here in this statement? He begs God for just a drop of mercy. And God already gave him mercy, Brother Sam. We must come to God saying that we are not worthy of the mercies that were shown to us. When was the last time when you received a blessing that come your way, and when that blessing came your way, you just stopped, dropped, and just say, God, I am not worthy of what just happened to me. Amen? Blessings come to you folks irregardless if you ask for them or not. When was the last time that you just throwed your hands up and said, I am not believing that this happened? Me, it was just one day last week. Yeah. I got this one account, and I told Brother Thomas about it. When I go to work tomorrow morning, I'll have an order by probably 8 o'clock that'll take them over 35,000 gallons this month of diesel fuel. 1 year ago, we didn't sell them a drop. 2 months ago, we didn't sell them a drop. This is how far they come in just since March. Here's the thing. When I got that first order, and when I got that last one just last Thursday, when I got the last one while I was off, I told God, I said, why are you doing this for me? And I said, when I am just like the Apostle Paul, when it comes to sinners, I'm the chief. I said, why are you doing this for me, God? And I'm so thankful because he's opened up another door that I'm going to tomorrow. Every time that I just give him praise. Because why? Look, I'm nobody in the scheme of things. Do you realize, church, that 96 people have been saved since January 1st in the ministry of our church? 96. Last year we only had 124. God is doing something tremendous. And I ask him every time I get an email from these people, why, God, are you using me? I'm the least. And God, I just give him the praise because he's worthy. And Job didn't have an answer. I don't have an answer. But see, the thing is, I do know this. I am smart enough to realize that we serve a mighty God. We serve a God that can when we know that we can't. We serve a God that has a great big arms wide open ready to hold everybody at one time. And he's small enough to hold the smallest one. That's the God we serve. The God I serve can move mountains just by blinking of an eye. The God I serve is so mighty. But see, in the times of his greatness, I am come to a point that sometimes I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And the reason I don't know what to say is because I finally the other day I told God, I said, look, I was coming down 421 heading back home the other evening. I said, God, I don't know what to say except this. And I asked God, did you get it? And I said, because I don't know what to say. I was speechless. I didn't say nothing. That's what I told God. Sometimes we just need to do it. If you'll look in Genesis chapter 32, when you get a chance to read it, Genesis 32:10, that's what Jacob did. He just didn't have an answer. He was speechless. And in third, Job got it. He gave the unveiling answer in verse number 16. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would not I believe that he had hearkened unto my voice? The answer was unveiled. When was the last time, church, that this happened to you? Job has now went past all the limits. He's out there on the thin, thin ice. He's out there on that little tiny branch. Job feels like God. He feels like God were to call him. He would be useless, and it would be useless to even give an answer. He feels like that God is totally unapproachable, which is the Roman Catholic Church's stand. They feel like God is unapproachable. They pray to Mary, thinking that she's approachable because God's not. Don't y'all think that that's way far from the truth? Our God is ever present, and he's all knowing. He wants to hear from us. We must communicate with him. And that's what Job did. Job had great lands. He owned a humongous piece of property. Job had cows, oxen. He had all the donkeys, everything he needed to maintain his farm. Job had a wife. We all know about how loving and kind she was. Job had children. And when Satan went to Jesus, God, in the beginning, and he said these words, consider Job, he lost his children. He lost his property. He lost his cows, his oxen, donkeys, everything but that loving wife of his and those good friends like Bildad. He lost it all. Even, I bring it up again, when his wife looked at him and said, look, the best thing for you to do is curse God and die. Job's reply, the Lord giveth and taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yet, what should have been taken away, besides some of that stuff, and I was them friends of his. But they were there for a reason. And through studying, It's not in, it's nowhere in there that I can find, but I'm giving you a rheology. I believe the reason the Lord Jesus didn't take them friends of his out of his life was because of the fact that he needed an oppressive spirit from people. He needed to be oppressed, and he needed to be compressed by people that were completely away from God. But Job, in his unveiling answer, he answered when he said, he knows I'm, he says, look, I know I'm righteous. But if you were, I just don't believe. Have you not been in that point and place in your life? But here's what happened. God showed up and unveiled his greatness in a way that was far beyond any human mind can comprehend. Because when the trying was over, and the devil didn't touch him the first time, but touched him the second time that he went to God. God allowed him to touch him. Though he was tried and wouldn't bow, wouldn't give, none of that stuff there, God said, hey, because of the fact that you stayed the test, and because of the fact that you wouldn't give in and you wouldn't bow, I'm going to give you everything back twofold. Now you think about this. In that day, Job may have had 100 oxen. Twofold. Now he's got 200. That's a pretty healthy paycheck. He may have had 200 donkeys. Now he's got 400. That's another big paycheck. How about them cows? How about them cows? Oh, yeah. Ever how many he had, now he's got double that. But wait a minute. What about his kids? Oh, he got his kids back. Oh, he got them back too. But the Bible doesn't say that they were doubled. What about the ones that are in heaven? God took them.
Yeah.
Ooh. I would say at that point, that God's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all things. You're saying, I just don't know about it. Do your study. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that them kids weren't saved. Countless hours I've looked. My God is able, and he can do it. You say to yourself, preacher, you just don't understand. No, I'm telling you, you don't understand. I'm telling you that God is able if you'll just let him. He did that for Job. That same God that's in the book of Job is the same God that we serve on April 28th, 2024. The reason most of the time that he ain't moving is because of the fact, Brother Sam, that we have put the handcuffs on God.
That's right, brother.
And we have led him into a room, and we have put him in there, and we've locked the doors, brother.
That's right, brother.
So he can't move. We come to church and our minds are on the bills. Our minds are on how we're going to make ends meet. Our minds are on this, that, and the other. And you know what? God can't work in your life because of the fact you got it full of all that other stuff. Maybe it's time that when you start coming into the door, that I tell you what, Nick, that what we need to do is start giving out styrofoam cups. Give a styrofoam cup to every one of you when you come in and ask, is your cup empty? When you give it to them. You'll be surprised. But I'm going to tell you what you won't do. If that Mountain Dew bottle right there that you're holding, if that Mountain Dew bottle was completely full, I bet you $5 you can't pour another drop of Mountain Dew in it without it coming out the top because of the fact that bottle can't be used. That bottle can't be used just like this water bottle right here until it starts getting down. You got to drink out of it for it to be filled. But when it's full, you know what it is? Full. You can't do nothing else with it. Let me just say this morning. Winston, when are you going to start emptying out some things so God can be great in your life? When are you going to start emptying out some things? Job. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Have you started? And if you have started, why'd you quit? Job never quit. Even though his entire body was all sores, he never quit. But because it's raining, or it's 12 degrees outside, we'll just stay home. We'll quit. We're not going to serve the Lord today. My back hurts. I'll stay home today. Ain't a day that I don't get up and move any at all. My back don't hurt. I got a mouthful of stitches. I'm not going to let that stop me from serving the Lord, though. I'm glad y'all are sitting back. God, when are we going to let God? When are we going to let God in? Father, I asked this question before church. I ask it now. Where are the individuals, that our individual congregants, where are they with you? Are they in your presence? Are they in your midst? Only you and you alone know. Father God, I pray that in this invitation time that you would move. I pray, Father God, that in this time of quietness that, Lord, you would run the aisles and prick the hearts and draw them unto yourself. I pray, Father God, that sometimes the answer is no answer. We just need to be quiet and let you move. But Father God, most importantly, I pray, is that you be in the midst. If you're not meeting with us, Lord Jesus, and not, I'm talking about in with us, all we have done is assembled as a group of people. I don't want that. I want us to be able to be assembled in your presence to worship you. Father God, lead, guide, and direct in this invitation. Have it to be what you would have it to be. And Lord, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it. Let me just ask this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. Let me just say this morning. Maybe you say to yourself, hey, some have already come. Maybe it's time that you come and give your life to Christ. Maybe you say, hey, preacher, that's just it. I am saved. I'm saved. I got saved a long time ago. But the problem is I just ain't committed myself to the Lord. Well, maybe you just need to come on down here and give your commitment to Him. Maybe, how about this? Maybe you just need to say, hey, I need to rededicate my life to Christ. You know, hey, rededications happen. Maybe you're here and you say, hey, I've been thinking about joining. I like to talk to you, Pastor, about joining the church. Well, you come on down, I'll meet you, and we'll go and we'll set up a time we can talk. But see, the thing is this, though, too many times, we sit in our pews and we quench the spirit because of the fact that we're afraid of what somebody else will think. Don't let it be you.